Okay, I wanted to begin tonight to discuss with you something I've mentioned in the past, but also take it to a topic that I think is very important for us to spend time thinking about. This week is Parshas Mishpatim, but Mishpatim are introduced not in Parshas Mishpatim, but already in Parshas Yisro, because in Yisro, Yisro suggests Dayonim to appoint judges. And Barbanel points out that those judges that are introduced by Yisro, if you look carefully in Sefer Devarim, are not the judges that ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu appoints. If you take a look, Yisro wants to appoint judges who are Anshei Emes Sonei Vatza, honest people. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Devarim, says that he wants to appoint judges who have Chachma Bina Das. That's the first difference. In Parshas Yisro also, Moshe Rabbeinu is suggested to Yisro that he, Moshe, should paskin on those cases that are Dovar HaGodol. Big cases. A lot of money. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sets up the system of judges, it's not a Dovar HaGodol versus a Dovar HaKotan, but rather what's going to come to Moshe Rabbeinu is a Dovar HaKoshe. The things that are easy are going to come to the lower Dayanim. The Barmanel suggests that there's a fundamental disagreement between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro. Yisro's approach to Mishpatim, this week's parasha, is what we would call a utilitarian approach. What Yisro suggests is that we need judges who are Anshei Emes Sonei Vatza, they're honest, and we need a system that's going to work in which society functions. What's most important in which cases are the most important cases in a functional society? Dovar HaGodol, the big monetary cases. Moshe Rabbeinu disagrees. Moshe Rabbeinu says Mishpat is not simply a question of a function of society, but rather, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Dayanim have to be Dayanim who have Chachma and Bina and Das. Now, on both sides, this applies to our Amelus Batorah as well. This applies to how we address Mishpat. Torah for us is not simply about knowing what to do. Torah is not utilitarian. That's the approach of Yisro. Rather, Torah is an encounter, a bikush, a emes, a search for truth. And a very important drasha that I'm going to come back to shortly, Rav Soloveitchik described that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim in Torah is the pursuit of Torah as nothing else but the pursuit of emes. And it could only be achieved through halachic Torah thinking and Torah understanding. And Torah is not about simply having a kosher, healthy lifestyle. That you, in the morning, start with a little bit of Torah, and you go to sleep with a little bit of Torah. No, that's not what Amelus B'Torah is all about. That's Yisro's Torah. Torah is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It consumes the human being. They say a beautiful story that I've mentioned in the past, that Rav Shach was told by the doctors that he needed to sleep more at night. And they told the Rebbetzin that she has to tuck Rav Shach in. They're in their 70s. She has to tuck him in at night at 10 o'clock. He needs to be in bed. Rav Shach was sharp. So he waited for the Rebbetzin to go to sleep. At 11:30, he got out of bed, went to the dining room, and continued learning. This went on for a week. And then one time the Rebbetzin woke up in the middle of the night. She sees, sure enough, Rav Shach is learning in the dining room. Next night, the Rebbetzin asked one of the Talmidim to show her where the fuse box is. And she shut off the fuse. All the lights were out. So Rav Shach wakes up and everything's dark. So he goes to the Beis Medrash. The next night, the Rebbetzin locks the door from the outside. And she figures, now he doesn't have any light. He can't get out of the apartment. He's stuck. She sleeps nicely for a couple nights, and then one night she wakes up
She looks around. Remember, it's dark. The fuse box is off. He's not in his bed. She stumbles her way into the dining room. The door is locked. The lights are out. She's searching for her husband everywhere. Where could he be learning? The Rebbetzin went to the laundry room. You know, here in Israel, in the laundry room, you have a boiler. And on the boiler, there's an LED light. There's like this red light. Rav Shach was standing on a chair, leaning over, reading from the Sefer. That's awesome. That doesn't come from Torah, which is simply utilitarian. That's a Torah in which there is this constant search, this aspiration for emes. And every moment is an opportunity to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if this doesn't sound beautiful to you, I can't imagine what does. I don't think there's a single person in this room who would not say, of course, Torah is beautiful. Even if I'm not going to reach the Madrega of Rav Shach, I want to be connected to such a thing. But Rabosai, the point that I'm making tonight is also a tremendous responsibility and an avoda and a struggle for many young men and young women today. Let's go to this week's parsha. Listen to the words of Rabbi Yerucham. And if you really believe what we just spoke about before, then you need to work on a very strong mussar. Ve'ela ha'mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem, says Rashi. Ve'ela moisif al rishonim. Ma rishonim misinai afeilu misinai. Just like the Aseres HaDibros were given at Sinai, so too Parshas Mishpatim. Says Rabbi Yerucham, you have to realize what that means. Mishpatei ha'umos yisodosam haskamas b'nei Adam. Similar to what we saw from the Abarbanel, but a step further. When it comes to secular law is dependent on culture and time and place. B'tnai ha'chaim shel ha'tzibur shelahem. They're not absolute. Torah is not that way. It's a search for truth. That means there's absolute truths. And that means that the Torah reflects absolute truths. Now here Rabbi Yerucham leaps to a beautiful Yisod and Machshava. And he says, it's not only that it's dependent on man's thumbs up or thumbs down. That's for sure not. Elo behefich. HaTorah hi sheyista es ha'adam. The Torah values define the essence of a human being, what he is supposed to be, and what his tchunos are, what his identity is. Rabbi Yerucham goes on. Just like God made man with two eyes and a nose and 10 fingers, and 12 fingers are not the way man is supposed to be, the same thing applies that if a Torah value and a Torah system says this is the way we're supposed to perceive and we're supposed to act, then an individual who tries to use their own seichel, their own intellect, to define what is our value, is arguing with an absolute, just like someone is saying that he's supposed to have 12 fingers as opposed to 10. Let me explain to you what I'm driving at. The same concept that Torah lifestyle is so beautiful, it's a pursuit for truth, also is an all. It's also a responsibility where that same MS is how we define reality and not how the outside world defines reality. I was in a shul and there was a fellow who asked the following question. I was talking about Simcha on Shabbos, Oneg on Shabbos, and he said, how could it be that the lights had gone out and it turned out that we weren't able to have hot food for Shabbos? How could it be that the Rav said that if the guy would turn on the electricity, we still wouldn't be able to eat the food. That's not Oneg Shabbos. Leaving aside the Shaila, I answered the person with, I think, a Yesod Gadol, which is something that I don't know if everybody here has really internalized. 50, 60 years ago, we've mentioned this in the past, there were Jews who lived far out in the suburbs of New York, and they really didn't have any connection to Judaism. And there were many conservative rabbis that advocated that what they should do is, yes, it's not so simple to drive to shul on Shabbos, but at the end of the day, they'll be Jewish. They'll be connected to a synagogue. There's a likelihood that their children will feel that they're Jewish. And the Chachmei HaMesorah said no. The Chachmei HaMesorah said that at the end of the day, we don't define the values of Judaism. We don't define the values of Oneg Shabbos. Rather, it's the Torah itself that imports and educates us what is our value system, even if it doesn't seem to make sense. And of course, 50, 60 years later, we saw the result. It was those who justified driving to shul on Shabbos, those are the ones who are now justifying children not being Jewish. And it all starts with man using their own intellect and trying to fit it back into the Torah and not the opposite. You know, they say that there was a couple that was sitting with each other. An Irishman was drinking, he was sitting next to his wife, and he said, "I love you." His wife turns to him and she says, "Is that you talking or is it the beer?" And the husband says, "I'm talking to the beer." Rabosai, here's the question. What's talking? Is it the lev of Klal Yisrael talking? Or is it the outside? Is it the beer that's speaking? Rav Soloveitchik goes on in his drasha, advancing the same yisod that I read to you from Rabbi Yerucham of Mir. And Rav Soloveitchik describes the following. The truth is attained from within in accord with the methodology given to Mesha and passed on from generation to generation. One must join the ranks of the Chachmei HaMesorah, Chazal, Rishonim, Gedolim, Achronim, and one must not try to rationalize from without the Chukei HaTorah. An attempt, be it historicism, psychologism, undermines the very foundations of Torah Mesorah, and it leads eventually to the most tragic consequences of assimilation and nihilism, no matter how good the original intentions, no matter how good the original intentions. That, Rabosai, is the core problem today, in my opinion, when it comes to certain issues that are referred to today as women's issues. I am so thankful that my wife and daughter are living in the year 2015 as opposed to the year 1015. There's no question that humanity has progressed in how women are treated. And I don't take that away for a second. But at the end of the day, when there are people who try to justify according to halacha, women to be called to the Torah, is it because the halacha is crying out? Or is it their secular values that are informing the halacha? Says Rabbi Yerucham, if halacha says, Kavod HaTzibur says that a woman is not supposed to get aliyah, then that forces us to re-examine what is the appropriate role for women. Not for us to superimpose and then to rationalize backwards and take our analogy. It's no longer that the beer is talking, but rather the punchline. What the husband says, he's talking to the beer. He's talking to the Yetzer Hara. He's trying to turn Torah into the beer. His love has become of the values of secular culture. And he doesn't even realize it. That's what's transpired. If Chazal say, and my wife, may she be well, learned be'iyun with Rabbi Willig Hilchos Bishul,
But if Chazal say, v'limadetem oisam es b'neichem v'loy b'noiseichem, that it's a man's role to be omel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and not women. So then, how could it possibly be, whether it's beferish in halacha or not, for a woman to get smicha as being asur? My rabbeim said it's asur. But it's backwards. Where are people listening to the echoes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah? That it's man's role to be omel in Torah, not a woman's role. The answer is, we have it all backwards. And Rav Soloveitchik continues. We must not yield. I mean, emotionally, it is very important to yield to the charm, the transient and passing charm of modern political and ideological reasoning. In my opinion, Judaism does not have to apologize either to the modern woman or to the modern representatives of religious subjectivism. There is no need for apology. We should have pride in our Masorah. Rav Braunschweigel, Shlita, may have Refuah Shleima, used to play us this shiur of Rav Soloveitchik. You could find it on YU Torah. It's amazing. Everybody has to listen to it. Rav Soloveitchik was not that different from Yerucham of Mir. And Rav Braunschweigel used to say, I believe in going to college. Just like I believe in feminism. There's a role for a human being to develop God's world. Not everybody is meant to be sitting and learning in Kola. But at the end of the day, Ray Braunschweigel said it very succinctly, your values have to come from Torah, not from the university. Zeh HaYesod. We have a beautiful, beautiful Masorah that creates our system of values. We have such a beautiful heart, a heart that has been developed in 3,000 years of Masorah. I've emphasized to you time and time again how much Mesiras Nefesh of your great-grandparents came into bringing you to this point. And we're going to turn the Torah into a rag, into a newspaper that's dependent on culture and time? The opposite is true. And that is the ultimate values, the truth of what a human being is supposed to be, the different roles between men and women. All that system comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And then that informs the rest of the way we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Sometimes the beer is talking and not the heart. But in our generation, it's gone further. What's happened has been that we've begun to talk to the beer. We've tried to turn Torah into the modern world, the hedonistic beer, and we've tried to justify and fit the Torah into that. Modernity has brought tremendous things from humanity, but we won't allow it to compromise one iota of our Messiah. Eila HaMishpatim Shenishnes B'Sinai. Every single one of these things were learned at Sinai. It's an encounter with the Divine. And may we be zocha that encounter form our character and the way in which we perceive our existence. May we be zocha to mikadosh shem shemayim.